Welcome to the True Crime Never Sleeps podcast. We dive into stories of true crime, from unsolved cold cases to historic kidnapping to gangsters and beyond. We are your source for true crime. We thank you for listening.
Welcome to the True Crime Never Sleeps podcast. I'm your host, Larry Lease. And surprise, Cold Case Friday is back. That's right. Every Friday, we dive into a cold case. And this week, diving into the old unsolved murder of Utah teenager Debbie Grabber. Before we do that, give us a thumbs up if you like our videos, hit that subscribe button down below, and let's dive into today's episode. 15-year-old Debbie Grabber was reported missing by her mother on January 16, 1992. The following morning, her lifeless body was discovered, abandoned in a snowy lot just down the street, bound with restraints and tightly wrapped in several blankets and sheets. Who killed her and why? Deborah Marie Grabber was born in Lancaster, California on July 20, 1976, to parents Patrick Lawrence and Cynthia Young Grabber. Her parents later separated, her father moved to Nevada, her mother to Salt Lake City, Utah. Debbie had been living with her father in Nevada, but he became overwhelmed by her teenage behavior and didn't feel like he could keep her from engaging in sexual relationships, so he sent her to a group home in Ohio. In October 1991, Debbie ran away from her group home to live with her mother, Cindy, in Salt Lake City, Utah. Debbie was 15 years old when she arrived in Utah and began attending West High School in Salt Lake City, which was about a 25-minute walk from her house. Debbie was described as quiet and antisocial, but also quick-witted and generous towards others. She enjoyed reading, drawing, writing poetry, and maintaining her appearance. Her dream was to become a fashion model and work in either New York or Chicago. In the early morning hours of Thursday, January 16, 1992, Debbie's mother, Cindy, arrived home from her graveyard shift at the Rosewood Terrace Care Center, a nursing home in Salt Lake City. According to Cindy's live-in girlfriend, Catherine Fredrickson, Debbie had left for school about 6:30 a.m., dressed in her winter clothes and carrying a copy of Hollywood Husbands by Jackie Collins. When Debbie failed to come home after school that day, her mother Cindy waited until about 8 p.m. before calling Debbie's probation officer to report her missing, and then called the police at about 10 p.m. when she still hadn't returned. Because Debbie had a history of running away, the police told Cindy to wait until the next day to see if Debbie showed up for school. As expected, Debbie did not show up for school on Friday. In fact, it was discovered she never made it to school the previous morning either. That day, Friday, January 17th, the police received a phone call from a witness stating they saw a transient-looking white person with long dark hair and a long, thick army coat dumping what looked like a body wrapped in blankets behind some local businesses. The perpetrator was apparently seen pushing a bundle of blankets in a shopping cart until the shopping cart accidentally tipped over on the icy sidewalk. The perpetrator then took the bundle out, dragged it across the snow-covered lot, and covered it with sagebrush. Then, the perpetrator reportedly left on foot, headed south in the direction of the Grabber home, only a short distance from the street. The witness happened to be at a nearby tow truck business in the early morning hours, about 5 to 6 a.m., and saw the perpetrator from about 100 yards away. The witness then walked to where they saw the suspicious person discard the bundle, nudged the blankets with their feet, and felt strongly that there was a body inside. When police arrived to investigate the bundle of blankets, they uncovered the deceased body of 15-year-old Debbie Grabber, wrapped in two different blankets and several sheets, her body tightly bound with restraints. Police believe her time of death occurred sometime during the night, between Thursday and Friday, meaning she was alive up to about 20 hours after she was last reported seen alive by Catherine Fredrickson on Thursday morning. But the cold temperature affected the ability to accurately gauge her time of death. An autopsy was performed and her manner of death was ruled a homicide, but the cause of death, as well as the condition of her body, is remaining unreleased for investigative purposes. Recovered alongside her body was the copy of Hollywood Husbands that she was seen leaving the house with. It's unknown whether or not Debbie left the house with a backpack or any other school supplies, and nothing of that nature was found with her body. The two blankets found with Debbie's body were a pink bedspread and a very dirty green blanket covered in grease and cigarette burns, which police believe was more than likely used as a sort of a rug instead of a blanket. The blankets were found to contain black and white animal hairs, and the bottom of the green blanket had been cut off. There were also several bedsheets, which police were able to determine originally came from the local Little America Hotel that was known to donate their old sheets to homeless shelters. When Cindy was shown the blankets found with her daughter's body, she reportedly said they did not come from her household. A boot print was discovered in the snow near Debbie's body that appeared to come from a pair of relatively new Outback brand boots. The logo and tread of the boots didn't appear to have any noticeable wear based on the print left in the snow, leading investigators to believe the shoes were new. Because the surrounding snow was so icy, investigators were unable to find enough additional footprints to track the perpetrator's trail. The shopping cart used to transport Debbie's body was found abandoned nearby and taken into evidence, but no physical evidence was recovered from the cart, and no hopes of recovering any DNA remained since the cart was not protected from contamination while in storage. Most importantly, several human hairs were recovered from the crime scene that have been preserved and have the potential to finally close this case. According to police, it's only a matter of time and money before those hairs will be tested and a genetic profile can be drafted of their owner. After Debbie's death, police canvassed her neighborhood and collected DNA samples from everyone they could. If the perpetrator was included in this sampling, the case could finally try its first suspect. Additionally, thanks to Debbie's love of writing, police were able to recover a potentially relevant entry in her diary that tells of her fascination with a local man. Based on Debbie's diary and the accounts of her family, classmates, and teachers, Debbie wasn't dating or romantically interested in anyone at her school, but there was a man whose house she would purposely walk her dog past in hopes of catching his attention. Nothing else about this man was detailed in Debbie's diary, but police suspect that he lived very close by and was most likely older than Debbie. Debbie's mother Cindy and her live-in girlfriend Kat Fredrickson Wood were both questioned by police and were reportedly very cooperative with the investigation. Their lesbian relationship, their involvement in satanic witchcraft, and their admitted BDSM practices were especially highlighted by news media and caused speculation about their involvement in Debbie's death. A small satanic shrine was also discovered in Cindy's and Kat's bedroom, although they denied that Debbie was a part of any of their practices.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.
Kat did not have a verifiable alibi for the time of the murder, but based on her physical description in comparison to the witnesses saw, and because she had known mobility issues due to her weight and back problems, she was not considered a suspect. Witnesses described seeing what looked like a man about 6 feet tall, of medium build, roughly 180 pounds, whereas Kat was well over 6 feet tall and exceptionally overweight. However, Kat Fredrickson Wood had an ex-husband named Lawrence Wood that frequented the two women's home. Kat and Lawrence had a special needs son together who lived at a nearby facility for psychiatric care. Lawrence lived about 1.5 miles away and would visit Kat at her house, and they would do drugs together. Coincidentally, after Debbie's murder, the rental house directly behind their duplex was raided by the SLC Narcotics Division for several criminal activities, namely prostitution and the sale of heroin and cocaine. This drug house was not on police's radar at the time of Debbie's murder, and nobody at the house has ever been questioned in relation to her death or submitted to DNA sampling. Because of the nature of the drug houses in general, it's difficult to track down all the various people that would have frequented the property. The oversight of this drug house may have been the most damning part of this investigation, potentially causing the case to run cold for this long. Everything about Debbie's case mentioned so far is information given directly from the Salt Lake City Police Homicide Division to Crime Soup podcast, but there's more unverified information reported by news outlets that may add important insight. First, let's talk about Debbie's household. According to the Salt Lake City Police Department, retired homicide detective Gordon Parks, the relationship between Debbie and her mom's girlfriend was strained, with Debbie being described as a wet blanket on their sexual relationship. Kat Wood, Cindy's girlfriend, was unemployed and housebound due to her weight and back problems, while Debbie's mom, Cindy, worked graveyard shifts at a local nursing home to support them. Kat's ex-husband, Lawrence, also lived nearby and would frequently walk over to the woman's home to do drugs with Kat while Cindy was at work in the evenings. According to an interview with ABC News 4 back in 1992, Cindy stated that she had asked Lawrence to stop going to her house at night when she wasn't there, and that Debbie absolutely hated him, once even spitting on him. When Debbie's mother Cindy was shown her daughter's body, she told investigators that the blankets Debbie was wrapped in didn't come from their house. Excuse me. But according to an article from the Salt Lake Tribune, dated February 20th, 1992, investigators searched to grab her home immediately after Debbie's body was discovered and noted that her bed was missing all of its bedding. In one interview with Debbie's mother from ABC News 4 in October of 2019, Cindy disclosed that Debbie's body was found tightly bound and blindfolded. If Debbie had been in fact blindfolded by her killer, what purpose did it serve? Recovered alongside her body was the copy of Hollywood Husbands. Debbie was reportedly seen leaving the house with that morning. No other school supplies or backpack were found with her, and it's unknown if she took any. Why did the killer return the book with her body, and what kind of student that leaves her school without any school supplies? So now I'm going to give you a personal theory that I've considered. What if Debbie wasn't on her way to school that morning? What if that key testimony from Kat Wood, upon which our entire timeline of events depends on, was a lie? Let's re-examine a few of the facts. We know that Debbie's mother, Cindy, was working her usual graveyard shift at Rosewood Terrace Nursing Home and usually arrived home a little after 6:30 a.m., just after Debbie would need to leave the house for school. Sometimes their schedules would overlap and they'd greet each other as Debbie left and Cindy arrived home. On Thursday, January 16, 1992, Cindy did not run into Debbie. Instead, she arrived home and was told by her girlfriend, Kat Wood, that she saw Debbie leave the house about 6:30 a.m., dressed in her winter clothes and carrying the copy of Hollywood Husbands. On nights that Cindy worked graveyard shifts, Debbie and Kat would have been at home alone together, that is, except for Kat's ex-husband. According to an article published by ABC 4 Utah in 2019, Cindy reportedly said, quote, "Kat had a husband who Debbie absolutely hated. Once she spat on him, I have asked that husband never to come into the house, and he was always in the house every night that I worked." Why did Debbie reportedly hate Lawrence Wood so much, and why didn't Cindy want him at the house when she wasn't there? According to that same ABC 4 news article, Cindy was also quoted saying, quote, "This was no accident. I don't know if they actually meant to kill her, but I can't give any other reason you would kidnap someone, tie them up, and cover their eyes." Police believe that Debbie was held captive and killed somewhere very close to her home, eventually discarded only a block away. If we consider that Kat may have given a false timeline in this case, that she may have aided Debbie's killer, and that Debbie was actually abducted sometime during the night instead of on her way to school, it's possible that her killer had several hours to cover their crime. Lastly, according to a news article published less than 2 months after Debbie's murder, Kat told reporters that Lawrence shaved his head and left for San Francisco, leaving her in Salt Lake City as sole guardian of their son. And of course, before we end this episode, we'd like to remind you, if you or anyone you know has information regarding Debbie's murder, you're asked to please contact Detective Corden Parks with the Salt Lake City Police Department at 801-799-3100. And right now, there's a $5,000 reward for any information that leads to an arrest in this case. Now, I want to hear your theories on what you think could have happened in the comment section below. Just go in the comment section below. Give me your theories, whether they're crazy or reasonable. Now, before we go, give us a thumbs up if you like our stories. Hit that subscribe button down below. And of course, if you want to support the channel even more, you can go to buymeacoffee.com/TCNS. There, you can give us $1, $5, $10, $20, however much you want to give, and your support goes directly into this channel. We're going to use your support to grow our channel, upgrade our equipment, bring new hosts, and hopefully take this show on the road. We'd like to, stream episodes from famous crime scenes all across the globe, and your support can help make that happen. As always, thank you so much for watching and listening. We'll see you next time.
You have been listening to the True Crime Never Sleeps podcast. Thank you for listening. You can follow us on Facebook at True Crime Never Sleeps podcast and on Twitter at True Crime NS. And follow us on Instagram at True Crime Never Sleeps. Thanks for watching. If you want to support the show, buy buy us a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/TCNN or become a patron at patreon.com/truecrimeneversleeps.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.